prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back. It's Thursday, which means we're doing our first installment of the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show for the year of 2015. I'm joined by my co-host and ally, Ken O'Neill. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well, Carl. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I got to tell you, it's starting off to be an amazing year. Granted, there's only 8 days so far that have I've lived through.
It's a good start.
But it's a really good 8 days, I can tell you that. Now the other 350 somewhat down to go. All right, so we have a great episode today. Today's show is called Next Evolution, Survival of the Wisest. And actually, I'm going to be posting a viral image up on Facebook in a little while that I actually posted last year that says the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. And I think that this show is probably going to be in to some degree in line with that concept. Would you like to introduce our guest?
Oh, you betcha. And I'm going to add a comment to that. Where we get our information from is really being stretched.
Yeah.
Into areas that have traditionally been regulated and taboo by the inquisitions of religion and the inquisitions of science. 1957.
Science or scientism? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Scientism.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
1957. Sir Julian Huxley published a book, New Bottles for New Wines, that included an essay that's very timely. Remind you, this is 1957 from the first Director General of UNESCO, the grandson of Thomas Huxley, who defeated the Archbishop of Canterbury in debate in the 1870s on the issue of evolution. As a result of thousands million years of evolution, the universe is becoming conscious of itself, able to understand something of its past history and its possible future. This cosmic self-awareness is being realized in one tiny fragment of the universe, in a few of us human beings. Perhaps it has been realized elsewhere too, through the evolution of conscious living creatures on the planets of other stars. But on this, our planet, it has never happened before. That's 1957. Other people in that period, Jonas Salk, the developer of the polio vaccine, was admonishing us that we need to move from the blind chance view of evolution to getting in the driver's seat with respect to what he called metabiological evolution or conscious evolution, in which the anti-change, that the nature of evolution became not survival of the blind fittest, but survival of the wide awake wisest. And to that end, we're beginning our year with Dr. Jeffrey Kripal of Rice University, former chair of religious studies there, author of a number of books. I hope you'll go to his webpage and clip the images of, I think, about 8 titles that he's done. I recommend that people read everything that Jeff has written at least twice. The first time it's so mind-bending, you need a second pass just to make sure what you read was there and be able to digest and assimilate it. Jeff is unique. Jeff, in my opinion, and I'm going to embarrass him, I'm sure, is one of the great minds of any time. His work, nominally in religious studies, is really in the study of human consciousness, helping us break out of a double bind between faith versus rationality, opening the way to new ways of knowing, at least new ways of knowing to Western culture. They've been in the wisdom traditions of the West and other cultures before, but are now reaching the forefront out of evolutionary necessity. The new paradigm, the emerging new next evolution that's happening in our time is unprecedented in that consciousness and energy are now part of our emerging picture, ideas that were taboo in the past, facilitating getting to know ourselves, to know how we know, and to become suitable, responsible, conscious leaders in our own evolutionary process. And with that, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Ken, and you did embarrass me.
Huh.
That's funny.
Well, I didn't mean to. I mean, your work is just exceptional.
Okay, so let's jump right into this, okay? So the problem as I see it right now is that everybody thinks where they're getting their information from is a good source. The problem that I see it as it is today is that whether it's been done purposefully or it's just part of the human condition, instinct, intuition, critical thinking, and deductive reasoning are slowly and have at an exceptionally successful rate been erased from the population. What would you say to that, Dr. Kripal?
Well, yes and no. I mean, to some extent, it depends on what part of the public culture you're referring to. I mean, obviously, the part of public culture that runs much of the media and certainly the universities and much of the official culture is highly rational and highly mechanistic and scientistic in the ways that Ken was referring to earlier. But the culture is polarized. There's this other complete end of the spectrum that's essentially fundamentalist and religious in a literalist or naive fashion. And so folks who, you know, I think who want to be a little smarter about things are kind of caught in the middle, caught between the horns of these two philosophical extremes of a kind of mechanistic materialism and a kind of dangerous religious fundamentalism.
And I might add that both impose strictures on what we can know, what the nature of permissible reality is, what the nature of taboos are. Neither makes way for William James's wild facts that disrupt everything and cause us to have to rethink and to reinvestigate the nature of reality through understanding the nature of consciousness.
I think too, Carl, the bigger issue here, it's not just where people get their facts or their information from. Information in itself gets you nowhere. It's just data. Data means nothing until it's put in a larger framework or in the sense I'm trying to talk about, into a larger story or narrative that a culture as a whole accepts and celebrates. And I think that's really where we're at today, is our old stories or what scholars of religion call mythology are breaking down, and the new stories haven't yet emerged, but you can certainly see them on the horizon. And evolution, I would argue, is at the very, very core of this emergent superstory that's on the horizon.
When did religion come on the scene? At what point in time? I was raised Catholic, so I went to catechism class for 8 years. I went to parochial school, so I have my version of what I understand religion to be. But when did religion actually start to emerge in the process of evolution?
Well, we don't know the answer to that. We know that symbolic expressions start in the archaeological evidence 50 to 100,000 years ago. You know, people start to etch things in stones and 30, 40,000 years ago start to paint things on cave walls. And, you know, somewhere around there, too, probably later than that, begin to bury their dead in very striking ways that look like they thought of death other than just the end of an animal. So we don't, the origins of the religious instinct are lost to us in the myths of prehistory, but they certainly are ancient. They're not recent.
Which challenges Catholicism. You know,
Sure. No, Carl, I was raised Catholic as well. In fact, I went to a Catholic seminary for college, so I know the Catholic tradition well. Catholicism is a very recent. Well, all the world religions are very recent.
Yes.
When you look at the larger history of religions and look at the whole sweep of the human story.
Okay, so for those in the audience who've never heard this before, some of you have my opinions on religion. I'm going to give them at the risk of losing some listeners. But I have to be honest with people. I was raised Catholic. We were very, very involved with the church. I saw some things early on that made me start to question Catholicism, which then led me to question all organized religion. So today I feel that I am a spiritualist. I think organized religion was created for a good reason, because the early scholars, because most of what was written was religious doctrine, the early scholars were Bible scholars. And they wanted to truly protect human beings. You know, don't eat pork. A lot of people are dying from eating raw pork or undercooked pork. Let's just say God said don't eat pork. It's just easier this way. When you're trying to control a population of uneducated individuals, you say, oh, you know, God said don't do this. And it was all for good reasons. It was to help human beings be better examples of human beings. So my interpretation of religion was it evolved from necessity. To help elevate civilization. But you fast forward, and I kind of feel like we've outlived our usefulness for organized religion. One just needs to see what's going on in some of the Islamic movements today. And we can look back at the Spaniards when they were out killing people because they wouldn't convert. Religion is a dangerous thing today. What would you say to those comments?
Well, I think what Jeff is saying, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Jen.
Well, what he just said is there's a distinction between data and words and stories. And our sense of religion is the stories that we've been told and we've been telling ourselves that are wearing thin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, several of Jeff's book on Eslin, we had Eslin's founder on months ago,
right,
Michael Murphy.
Right.
That 500-page book is a narrative history of the immersion of consciousness, understanding, that occurred in California. One that the immersion of consciousness with new science. His other book that I've read, Mutants and Mystics, looks on about 150 years of the emergence of what we might call paranormal in the sense of non-normal inspiration to authors that have resulted most recently in a new genre of science fiction that's about mutants. And the mutants are images of who we're becoming. Now, where that's important is right away that's saying that these old religious stories that we've been telling ourselves are on the way out. And what I'd like us to focus on today is not so much where we've been, but where it looks like we're going. What the pulse beat indicates next evolution and a new humanism and a new understanding of being human and how that applies to what we do in the gym and in the kitchen and in the bedroom and how our understanding of our lives, what that amounts to. Is that all right?
Let's go ahead and hear Jeff's opinion on this. Go ahead.
Well, I think I can combine both of your interests. I mean, so I'm not interested in promoting any kind of past religious worldview or institution.
Right.
That's not what scholars of religion do. And the way I suggest we think about religion or spirituality, if you prefer, is, you know, in the past, you can think of religion as a big story that people live inside of, and they reenact over and over again through rituals and holidays and annual festival cycles, and they keep repeating the story and reenacting it in a kind of religious theater as a way of making that story come to life. And to the extent people are religious, in an older sense, they don't understand that they're inside a story that, that previous generations have written. They think the story is the way the world really works. Mm-hmm. And they're wrong about that. They are living inside a story that was written by their ancestors. And that story served some purposes in the past, and it didn't serve others. And that story serves some purposes in the present, and it doesn't serve others. But no story is ever perfect. What I think is happening today, and what I think the future of the spirit is about, is waking up inside our stories and recognizing that they're all stories. They're not literally true. They have something to them. But that we can retell them differently. I mean, it's like waking up and you realize you're a character in someone else's novel, or you're an actor in someone else's movie, and you want to step off the screen or step off the page and write another story or direct another movie to be in. And that one won't be perfect either. But at least you'll know you're doing it. And I guess that's the kind of practice that I think Ken's getting at, and that certainly my books have been about, is waking up inside these stories we're in and realizing they're quite dysfunctional and dangerous in many ways.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other end. This is the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show. Today's guest is Dr. Jeff Kripal. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called piezole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Piezole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams
grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called...
Just want to remind everybody that today's show of Superhuman Radio is being made possible by a grant from All American EFX and their parent company, All American Pharmaceutical. You can learn more about them by going to superhumanradio.com. Okay, so, you know, Ken, you've talked about us being the new mutants, haven't you?
Did you just read my mind?
No, because I remember we did a show and you were talking about X-Men and the mutants, and you said the reality is that those of us in the superhuman nation, we are the new mutants because we're so different than the rest of the population.
And the man responsible for me even having that thought is with us today, Dr. Jeff. I didn't know what an X-Man was until he referred to one in a an email. And in my mind, you know, I'm from Northern California. I thought of X-rated. I was back to the Mitchell Brothers in the 70s. and I learned that wasn't true. So I've since watched all the X-Men films and immersed myself in superheroes. I watched Kick-Ass yesterday with Nicolas Cage.
How'd you like it, by the way, real fast? Did you like it?
Well, I didn't even – I tuned into it by accident. I turned on the – I frequently turn on the television if I can't – if I need to take a nap and can't sleep. Because I go – I'm bored to sleep. And this thing came on and I wasn't bored to sleep. I liked it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So picking up with that, so this idea that
Jeff introduced a theme here, his book – Mutants and Mystics, I can't say enough about. It's a book about imagination. It's a book about one way of looking at the growth of knowledge is that the force of evolution is intensely brilliant, and we're at a stage in our development where that brilliance that informs the world is calling us, waking us up to who we are as phenomena of it. I don't know about that. In the bigger sense, the mutant theme, where I'm taking it, is I'm looking at what I'm calling volitional or intentional mutagenesis. The X-Men are become mutants by virtue of radiation or something.
Right.
I think what Eslin has been all about, and I'd like to ask Jeff this, is becoming more volitional. And intentional in becoming mutants. What do you think?
Well, yeah, Ken, absolutely. I mean, Eslin as an institute and the human potential movement as a whole is very much about taking this evolutionary impulse and stabilizing it in some kind of transformative practice and lifestyle that can, you know, make it real and have it have real effects in the real social, personal world of the individual. So absolutely, it's all about making it volitional. And that's what I meant earlier when I said, you know, in the past when we lived inside these religions, we were doing that because we thought that's the way the world really was. And to the extent we step out of that and rewrite our worlds, that's an act of tremendous volition, tremendous self-authorization. And we can't just do that as individuals. We also have to do that as communities, like your superhuman community here.
Well, I've thought of this program since you introduced the metaphors to me. I've thought of Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio, the podcast, as a version of Professor X's Cerebro.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a beautiful way of putting it. And that's why I love the X-Men mythology, not because I think it's literally true, but because I think it expresses something true about our moment and about who we really are as human beings. And if I can go back to your humorous mistake of mistaking an X-Man for an X-rated man, that there's a real insight there. As I tried to point out in the Mutants and Mystics book, if evolution is about anything, it's about a whole lot of sex happening over and over and over again for millions of years. Trillions of sexual acts over millions and millions of years is actually what drives biological evolution. And I think what drives cultural and spiritual evolution is that same erotic energy now being channeled and sublimated into these cultural activities or these intellectual activities. I think it's all the same energy. And I don't think it's just energy. I think it's conscious.
Back in the 80s, and I could be wrong, and Ken, you'll probably know what I'm talking about and correct me, but I read a book that I want to say was by Jose Silva, who talked about channeling your sexual energy for success, that he actually had you visualize sex with the person that you loved and feeling that, and then immediately switching to a task that you may be involved with in business and associating those feelings with achieving the task. Was his name Jose Silva, the Silva Mind Method?
That's probably.
Okay. I mean, but that's, Carl, that's classic Freud. I mean, that's yep. What Freud thought about virtually any cultural activity, whether it was art or religion or business or anything. It's all a sublimation of sexual energies. But I think what the evolutionary picture gives us is we take one step up from there and we see that sex isn't just sex, it's this cosmic force that can take on all kinds of aspects and embodiments, some of which, of course, are not sexual at all, but are still rooted somehow in that cosmic impulse. So that's really what I've been arguing for, is this more cosmic vision of who we are.
Let's come back to this after the break.
Yeah, because I have something I want to mention. When I want to kind of go back to organized religion and sexuality, which was always a clue for me that maybe organized religion got a lot of things wrong as well. But we're going to take a real quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio here on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the Age Force Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. Age Force has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Don't forget, you can jumpstart your fat loss for free this month. Age Force is giving away their most popular patch delivered supplement, their weight loss fat burner patch, a month free trial. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the banner ad on the right hand side. You can't miss it. It's a skyscraper. And use the coupon code FREEPATCHES, one word, to get a free month supply of the best fat burner patch in the world. Right now we're talking with Dr. Jeff Kripal. We're talking, we went into the break talking about sex, sexuality, and now that I have such a grasp on evolutionary concepts, it seems to me that most religions, if not all, have some sort of rules about sex and sexuality, trying to separate us from animals, I guess, is what their original goal was. But it's proof positive that many religions are wrong. The fact that they want to control sex and sexuality, which, as you pointed out so eloquently, is the driving force of evolution.
Correct. Right. I mean, sex and religion is a huge topic. I mean, much of the religious path and sexuality is not so much about separating us from animals. It's about defining women and children as sexual property and controlling inheritance flows and wealth.
Uh-huh.
And it's about controlling people. But also we have to remember, and none of us do remember this, that you know, there once was an era in which people had no access to reliable birth control, and the easiest way to really, forgive the expression, screw up a family line is to have a child outside that line.
Right.
And so these were extreme anxieties of every culture on the planet, not just the world religions. And so much of what we think of as sexual morality has absolutely nothing to do with what we think of morality in the modern world. It has everything to do with who the kids are and where the inheritance goes and what happens to the family name. Those are the real drivers, and much of it's about controlling women, frankly. And of course, none of that works for us in the modern, at least the modern Western world anymore. And these are the generators of all of our cultural debates as well around. I mean, the main reason religion gets in the news today is for one of two reasons, either violence or sex.
Right.
Pretty much every single religious topic in the news is about one of those issues. And so that's not what we're talking about here. It's not the future we're talking about. It's the past and the present.
And you know, a lot of people may not be aware of this, but the idea that priests needed to be celibate and could not be married arose as a result of the Pope not wanting, because back in the day, getting into the religious order, into Catholicism, you basically became a wealthy person very quickly. And so I want to say it was either before or after Pope Borgia that they said, that's it. Priests can't get married anymore, because they were marrying and their brother-in-laws and their sister-in-laws and everybody was taking some of the church's goods.
Well,
that
was from around the 10th century, and the motive, you're partly correct. The wealth was tied up in church families.
Right, right.
Churches were family owned and had affiliation with central organizations.
Yeah.
Japanese Buddhism, largely we think the part of the image we have of Zen in the West is something that is from master to student in succession, and Roshis is these independent people, is completely false. Zen is a cartel of family temples in Japan. Ironically, there are just slightly more Zen Roshis than there are family temples. There are a few loose cannons that join and become Roshis anyway. So it works that way.
Well, the only reason I wanted to point that out was, and we can go back to talking about the future, but I want people to understand that everybody thinks that, you know, religious doctrine is from God, you know, and the Son of God. And no, it had to do with money. The reason that priests don't get married today has nothing to do with God said, and my priests will be celibate. No, the Pope said that because he was tired of losing the church's wealth.
Well, we have it here in Texas all the time with wanting to teach creationism in the schools. And I'm an advocate of it as long as they teach the creation story I want them to teach. And that creation story is from Japan. And it has to do with the cosmic god and goddess copulating in the skies for billions of years. And as they copulate, their love juices are copious, and they drip into the primordial oceans, forming the continents, forming the fauna and flora. Humans arise from them. So that the nature of religion and its celebration is raw sex.
I don't know.
They're going to teach that here because many cities in Texas also impose kids taking vows of celibacy.
Yeah, abstinence.
Yeah. Abstinence.
Just say no to your evolutionary drive. Just say no to it.
Well, yeah, Jeff and I both have background. I'm actually – what people don't understand about both Zen and Shin Buddhism is we're movements in Japanese Tantra. Tantra is older in Japan than it is in Tibet, by textual evidence. And Jeff's done his work in Bengali Tantra. So we both have orientations toward spirituality as ananda, as orgasmic bliss.
So yeah,
does that fit in a new humanism?
Can you just prove yourself an X-Man in both senses of the term again with your perpetuation story there? So yeah, I mean, Carl, again, you're correct that the medieval church was the largest landowner in Europe, and the strict rules around clerical celibacy were not instituted to the medieval period, and they were instituted to protect the church property because
right.
otherwise the priest would, you know, every time you have, this is what I meant, is sex is always about inheritance and the kids. If the priest comes in and owns, you know, the 60 acre or whatever, and he has kids, then in the next generation there are three or four guys who own that 60 acres, and in the next generation there are 12, and pretty soon nobody owns it. So
right.
that's the issue. But now, having said that, it's also true, to be fair, in the Christian West, both Jesus and Paul both preached celibacy, some kind of celibacy. But they did it for very different reasons. They thought the world was ending, and they didn't see any reason they didn't see any reason to move to the suburbs and have 2.5 kids and a golden retriever and a picket fence if the world was ending tomorrow. You know, neither man was married by all the evidence we have, and there's even evidence to suggest neither man was straight in the way we think of that today. So this is a really complicated issue. There's also the issue of a lot of these religious traditions saw sex in hydraulic ways. They believed that if you expressed your sexual energies out and down, they couldn't be directed up and to God, as it were.
Right.
In other words, the energies could flow one or the other way, but they couldn't flow both ways. You know, this goes back to an old Robin Williams joke, who's, you know, Robin said something like, well, God gave man a penis and a brain, but he only gave him enough blood to flow one way at a time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a funny version of an ancient religious observation as well, is that you could use your sexual energies for contemplative or spiritual ends, or you could use them for procreative and social ends. But until birth control, it was really hard to use them for both at once. And again, that's why things have changed so dramatically now. Is, you know, we can be sexually active and not produce a dozen kids.
Right.
So that's a game changer. And I think, again, that's one reason our own moral situation is so different than it was in the past. I think we have to be generous and compassionate to our ancestors who were struggling with issues we don't even have to think about anymore.
Right, right.
We
have to take our last commercial break, and then, Ken, I want you to take this in whatever direction you want, and we also want to give Dr. Kripal a chance to plug some of his books, so those who are kind of intrigued by this discussion can go out and read more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio.
Plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge. Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel.
clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And the single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, or chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water. And it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephanie Seneff. You may have heard her name in the news recently because she authored a paper. She's an MIT researcher who authored a paper that predicts that autism will reach 50% of the child population by the year 2025. And she links the overuse of glyphosate or Roundup, an herbicide that's used on conventionally grown foods, as part of the problem. Naturally, a lot of people within the mainstream came out against her, trying to discredit her. But I can promise you it will be a good interview. And I will ask her specific questions that have been levied against her by some of the mainstream media so she can address them as well. Okay, right now we're talking with Dr. Jeff Kripal. So where do you want to go, Ken? And let's give Dr. Kripal a chance to plug some of his book titles, please.
Why don't you go ahead and plug your book titles, Jeff?
What's that?
Plug your book titles. Your books.
Talk about your books.
Okay. Well, I think the books that are most relevant for your audience are the last three. The Authors of the Impossible is a book that came out in 2010. It's essentially a history of the paranormal and the UFO phenomenon. Trying to make some sense of that from an intellectual perspective. The next book is Mutants and Mystics. It's the one Ken's been referring to. It's a history of the paranormal through American popular culture, particularly through science fiction and superhero comics. It also happens to be in full color. They printed it in full color. So it's a beautiful book. The words aren't bad either, but the images are great. And then finally, the most recent book is called Comparing Religions, Coming to Terms. It's a full-blown handbook on how to think about religion and ask critical questions of religion in the modern world. So, like, Carl, for example, all the questions you asked me about Catholicism and sex and religion are all addressed at length in that book. So it's the one book I suggest people go to for the answers to pretty much anything involving religion. And the author's book and the mutant's book are really books to address more to your superhuman audience here.
Great. Great.
I want to make some comment there, too, that sort of wraps what we had to say at the beginning about sources of information with the announcement you just made about the second hour concerning the relation between Roundup in the polluting the soil and the food chain with autism in children.
Right.
Because we're asking the same question there. And I think Jeff has addressed it in terms of, are we participants in a story that's been authored elsewhere, which means we're characters, we're playing roles that have been assigned to us,
mm-hmm.
or do we do something radical and revolutionary and become the authors of our own narrative, of our own story? And I think those are tremendously important. And in his books, where Jeff is dealing with the paranormal, I don't want you leaving with the idea that it's spooks and chills and woo-woo stuff. His use of paranormal has to be understood in distinction to normal, where normal is a standardized perception of reality. We talked before about the Paleolithic prescription, how a small group of physicians who were also anthropologists came to recognize that the story that we've all participated in about normal disease and normal life expectancies are really only a recent story of our culture, whereas extant ancestors that have the same genes as we do, living in other environments, don't even get the diseases that we expect are a part of normal living and normal aging. So we've confused that story with medical science. And that's just a for instance. What's gating and imperative to the emergence of a humanism 2.0, a complete humanism, is coming to grips with knowing how it is that we author our story and gaining the empowerment, in Holbrook's language, of imagination, to author our story, to author a sustainable human future.
The courage. Because I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm thinking, the average person has no interest in authoring their own story. In fact, they can't have a successful relationship without turning to somebody else for advice. They can't raise their own children without asking somebody. I mean, that's why organized religion has been so successful, because it takes people who go, look, I don't know how to make my own decisions. I'm just going to say, you know, thank God. You know, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to say, hey,
well,
God.
That might be true. I have a way of sneaking in the back door, and that's healthcare. I just yesterday went to a second cardiologist and got 3 months of questions answered and I had to do a lot of research. But my position is detrimental reliance, which is a legal theory, keeps us imprisoned within narratives that are keeping us sick.
Yeah, of course.
So it may be that it's a life-threatening incident that's going to shake us awake. But if we consider the meaning of the Chinese character for crisis, which combines danger and opportunity, and look at our world, when you tell me about autism growing through irresponsibility of fertilizer use, what are we doing?
Yeah. And by the way, I did that show in 2008 or 2009. I had a scientist from the UK on, who looked at the number of life-threatening events that must occur before a person eliminates the risky behavior, and it's 3 if they live that long. Okay, let's give Dr. Kripal the last word here before we wrap it up.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
if I can just add to what Ken said, I mean, by the paranormal was coined by intellectuals at Cambridge and Harvard in the early 20th century, and what they meant by it is these aspects of human experience that are clearly part of nature, they're part of the natural yeah. world, but they aren't yet mapped by our science. And that's how I'm using the term. And actually, the expression they came up with before they came up with the paranormal was the supernormal, which was coined in the 1890s
right.
Around Cambridge. So these words are very close to your audience and very, very close to your radio show here. And I think the more you know about their history and their original meanings, the more people will embrace them. They did not originate in the tabloids or in a horror film. They originated at universities and among writers and intellectuals who cared deeply about extraordinary events that had no obvious explanation.
Interesting.
And those people were in many ways ahead of where we are today. Frederick Myers and William James.
Oh, I think they're way ahead.
We're catching up with them.
Oh, they're way, way ahead of us.
Yep.
Okay, so we have to wrap it up. You want to summarize anything, Ken, before we pull the plug on the interview?
Read Jeff's books.
Yeah, there you go.
We need them. It's an education in the culture that we're participants in developing.
Yeah,
and if I could, all the books are summarized, by the way, on my website, which is simply, let me get the address for you.
Please.
Here. It's just kripal.rice.edu. So kripal.rice.edu.
Oh, yeah, I just went there. Cool. Truly unconventional wisdom. I like that.
Right. The motto of our university is unconventional wisdom. So we sort of ran with that in the Department of Religion and added the adverb truly.
Yeah. I like
Jeff,
it.
Thanks for kicking off the beginning of 2015 with a theme that I only am committed to deepening and broadening, and if we can convince you to be back on again, we will.
Well, happy to do that. Thanks for having me, guys. I really do appreciate
Well, and I think we need to say something before we sign off. We're not suggesting that you abandon whatever religion that you believe in. You can still continue to worship the way you choose. All we're saying is that there's a lot more out there than just that.
Right. This isn't a matter of being religious or not being religious. It's how we're religious, I think, is the real question.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, listen, Dr. Kripal, thanks for being on the show today.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ken, good episode to kick off the beginning of the year, for sure.
Thank you, Carl.
And we've got lots more good things planned as we go on. You're listening.
Next week is James Oshman.
Okay.
North America's great expert on energy medicine. And if my reckoning is correct, the work that he's doing and the work that he has integrated may well have the significance of the Copernican revolution going from a geocentric to heliocentric world, and that of Louis Pasteur in enlightening us that curses and demons and so on aren't the cause of disease, they're microbes.
Yeah.
His view of our physiology is the next step.
Okay. Ken, thank you very much. Good talking to you today, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to come back with Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and we're going to talk about the role of glyphosate in the ever-growing population of autism and where that population will be by 2025. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born.
Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the clearly filtered pitcher filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Every day I'm hustling. Again, Superhuman Radio is being brought to you by a special grant from All American EFX and All American Pharmaceuticals. You'll learn more about them by going to superhumanradio.com. Okay, unless you've been under a rock, you have not heard about the recent paper that was published by my guest, my returning guest, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. How you doing, Dr. Seneff?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. And Dr. Seneff has been a regular guest on this show because she brings some of the most compelling information to light that is generally not challenged, but instead is embraced by those within that particular segment of science. But this is a game changer because she wrote about glyphosate and autism. And as a result, I want to discuss this first before we talk about the research. Everybody and anybody who thought they were qualified piled on and tried to discredit her. And I want to give you time first to address this, okay?
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
One in particular, a journalist called John Entine, who claims he writes skeptically about science, public policy, media, and NGOs, but his skepticism seems to have a specific slant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He seems, the articles I've read, he seems to be very pro-Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
And anything you say bad about Monsanto, he is skeptical about. He's never skeptical about what Monsanto says in their mm-hmm. science, which
right.
I find interesting. He's one-sided. But he came out in one of his articles and said that, you know, well, what does she know? I'm paraphrasing. You know, she's a computer scientist. So why don't you
right.
explain all the degrees that you hold that Mr. Entine, I think, purposely left out of his article?
Right. Now, I actually think I have basically expertise in four areas, and I think all of them are important to my research. My undergraduate degree at MIT is in biophysics, so that's biology and physics, both of which are important to what I'm studying. And then my higher degrees, MSEE, PhD, are also from MIT in both computer science and electrical engineering, both of which are important to my research. So I think I have a very unusual position to be able to work the biology and work the computer science and understand the electricity, which it turns out electricity is really important in the brain, and it is impaired in autism. And in fact, my PhD thesis, which was in electrical engineering and computer science, was on an auditory model for human processing of speech, which of course is something that autistic kids don't do well. So I was already learning about how speech is processed in the brain back then when I got my PhD thesis in computer science and electrical engineering. Now I can use, I've also done natural language processing techniques to analyze genetic DNA sequencing and coming up with very interesting results through that. I have papers published in that area. Over the past 8 or 9 years, I've been studying autism intensely because it was 8 or 9 years ago that I recognized the trend. It was an exponential growth, and I was worried. And I was especially worried because it didn't seem like anybody else was. I mean, it was very puzzling to me that the government, most of the money that's being spent on autism to this day is focused on finding genetic links. And they found a large number of genes that cause, each of which is a very small piece of the autism puzzle. You know, less than 1% of the autistic cases can be attributed to some specific gene. It's really a wild goose chase. And I don't know why they won't own up to the fact that it has to be environmental if it's exponential growth. And it is very clearly exponential growth. If you plot it on a log scale, you see a line going from 1975 to 2014 with the CDC data, which is reporting 12-year-old children. So to me, it's extremely alarming. And I don't understand why it isn't to the government. The government is very nonchalant about it. And they should really wake up and realize that if we don't fix this problem, we're doomed. I mean, this country is no longer going to be great once we have such a burden of sick children. And they're going to grow up, too, and they're going to become sick adults. They're already starting to do that, and they're burdening the adult, you know, care facilities because no one's expecting this. Everyone's saying it's all just more diagnosis. Actually, I think it's less diagnosis because right. they're playing tricks with PDD,
because they removed certain classifications from spectrum disorder. They removed what's that when people why can't I think of that now? I can't think of the name of the term now. Isn't that funny? But they removed a couple classifications.
They're making it much fancier. They're allowing other choices. And there's PDD-NOS, which is pervasive developmental delay, not otherwise specified. And there's also some kind of a social development disorder thing that they've newly invented that will allow you to sort of pull some of those autistic kids out into these other categories in order to hide the fact that there's an even worse epidemic than they're saying. And in the meantime, they're saying, oh, it's just more diagnosis. So they're lying. You know, they're going in the wrong direction in terms of their... It's an amazing ability to hide your head in the sand and not know what's happening. I mean, I just find it astonishing.
Well, there's another guy who has his head in the sand, and he writes for Examiner.com. It's James Cooper, who called the paper bogus, completely bogus. And while he doesn't necessarily take issue with the credentials per se, he doesn't hang heavy on that. But what he does hang heavy on is that, you know, the USDA and everybody who knows anything said glyphosate is safe, so it must be safe. And this man must be a fool, I'm sorry to say, because
I know.
If you go to Wikipedia, and better yet, if you Google drugs withdrawn by the FDA after being approved, you'll find over 100 drugs that caused harm or death that were first approved and then withdrawn. This government gets it wrong all the time. And then
you have
people like this James Cooper going, well, it's got to be safe. They said it's safe.
Well, this is certainly what everyone wants to believe. I think most people who see what I'm saying are in disbelief because the government has done a very good job of assuring us that absolutely glyphosate is a wonderful, wonderful chemical. It kills all plants, you know, never mind with that, all plants. It kills many microbes, never mind with that, but it is completely safe for humans. I don't know how they can have a straight face and say that.
Well, you know,
glyphosate disrupts all living systems. It's extremely clear to me. When you look at what it does, it's amazing.
The problem is, Dr. Seneff, and this has nothing to do with science. The problem is that because of sovereign immunity, this government can say these things to us, and then 100 years from now, when those individuals who told us unabashedly that these things were safe are gone, then it comes out that these problems existed. There is no transference of liability to the government at that point. See, if there was a way to say to the government, okay, we'll believe you, indemnify us, say to us, if I'm wrong, I will step down as president. I will step down as governor. I will step down as whoever this person is that's using their bully pulpit to convince us that this
is. And the other thing is that once the government approves it, then the company's not liable. Oh, well, the government said this was safe. How could we know that it wasn't safe?
Right.
You know? I'm sorry.
Right.
But I can't do anything for you. You know, I'm sorry that your child is disabled for life, you know?
So now you estimate that autism will reach a point of 50%.
Right.
Of the adult population as well, or are we talking about children?
Well, now, this is a mistake. Actually, I have been widely misquoted. And
okay.
Let me say what I actually said, because it's a little more conservative. Still pretty outrageous. I mean, I admit that. But, I believe it's possible. I said 1 in 2 of the children born by the
By 2025. Yeah, gotcha.
Now, when you take that line that I described to you, this is 12-year-olds. Keep that in mind. And they've got numbers coming out every couple of years. Going back to 1975, you plot the curve. It's a straight line. On a log scale. That means it's exponential growth. You extend that line, very simple arithmetic, right? And you take it out until what you find is that 2037 is the date. I mean, 2032 is the date where that line reaches the 50% mark. So that line predicts that by 2032, half the kids born will end up on the autism spectrum. Now, why I think it's worse than that is because that line is based on kids who were in utero in 2001. These are the 12-year-olds of 2014, in utero, 2001.
Uh-huh.
In utero is a very important piece of the puzzle. 2001 was way before lots of bad things happened. Because if you look in 2001, only 10% of the corn was GMO Roundup ready. Over the past several years, it's been 90% of the corn, 90% of the soy, 90% of the canola and the sugar beets. All of these are the core crops that go into the processed food industry. So I feel the processed food has to be completely riddled with glyphosate.
Well, okay, so two things I want to point out. Just recently, Monsanto sent out a memo to all farmers using glyphosate, whether they were using it on genetically modified crops adapted for glyphosate use or just plain old conventional crops, telling them that they should spray. I think it was 2 weeks before harvest, which makes no sense to me, because if you're harvesting, who cares what weeds are coming up? So that means that they're going to have a fresh batch of glyphosate on the crop when they're harvesting it, number one.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that, and it's actually 3 days before harvest.
Oh, thank you.
Wheat and sugarcane, other very core crops.
Sugarcane. Now, let me tell you.
Sugarcane, wheat, barley, I mean, these are basic crops, beans, peas, a few days before the harvest. The intention is actually to kill the plant. So these plants are not GMO. They're not Roundup ready. They die. That's the point. And they want to reduce the amount of residue that you have to clear. They want to make it easier for the combine when it gathers the seed. And they want to get a head start on next year's wheat. So they say, oh, these are all really great reasons to do this. Who cares if it's getting into the food? Because, of course, it's non-toxic to humans. I mean, this is the logic.
Well, here's something.
And this is why wheat, all of a sudden, you know, everyone's allergic to wheat.
Right.
I'm sure it's because of
the glyphosate. I'm with you on this. So let me tell you the other thing. So everybody's up against sugar. Sugar's evil. And you're right. Sugar is bad.
I know.
But let me tell you the other thing that people aren't thinking about. I heard a documentary on public radio last year about a group of individuals. I forget what South American country they're in, where they harvest sugarcane. All the workers are losing their kidneys. They're all developing
kidneys. Absolutely.
Kidney.
And so, there's several in Central America.
Yes.
You know, Nicaragua and
and maybe that's
El
where
Salvador.
It was. And so here's what they said. And then I thought about it. Oh, my God. So they said this never happened until they started using glyphosate. But here's how Monsanto sidestepped responsibility. When they harvest sugarcane, the day before they harvest it, they burn the fields to kill all the leaves. So the only thing that's left is the stalk, and it makes it easier for them to go in there and hack it. So Monsanto said, we've never tested the metabolites that come from burnt glyphosate. So we're not responsible. We're not. But here's the thing, folks. You're eating sugar that's coming from sugarcane with metabolites of burned glyphosate on it.
Right, exactly. It's scary. Isn't
Somebody it's needs crazy. To burn glyphosate and see what the metabolites are.
I know. Well,
and then
I'll
test,
tell you,
and that's,
I'll tell you
test sugar off the test
Think
sugar
about
off
cigarettes. Think about cigarettes.
Do they spray it on
cigarettes? Are more toxic today than they used to be. Tobacco is on the very short list of crops that are GMO Roundup ready. I have suspected for a long time some portion and possibly even all of the toxicity of cigarettes has to do with toxic chemicals in the cigarette.
Oh my God.
Possibly all. I mean,
why,
it's even possible that tobacco is not bad for you.
Why do we have to? That's interesting. Why do we have to prove that glyphosate is dangerous Why can't we err on the side of caution?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's crazy. I just do not understand the U.S. government. And I tell you, they're deaf ears. I mean, I know people who have tried very hard to wake up the government, send them materials, tell them all this, you know, attaching all these papers and telling them how toxic this stuff is, and the government often doesn't even acknowledge that they received it, you know?
And what recourse do we have as American citizens to hold this government liable for poisoning us?
I know. I mean, I don't know. My personal feeling is we should just forget about the government and go straight to the consumer, because if we can convince the consumer this stuff is toxic, consumer demand will drive it.
That's
it. In this country, you know.
I've been saying that.
Consumer demand works.
We vote with our dollars every single day. The problem is organizing everyone in one direction. I've said it. If 50% of this country said, we are not spending a dime on gas, on food, on anything, we're not going to work tomorrow, everybody just did it for one day, this government would shake in their boots.
That's true. We could do a strike, huh? A consumer strike.
A world strike, a nationwide strike to send the government. Because let me tell you something. If we stopped moving for one day, it would cost this government $1 billion.
Wow.
$1 billion. Wow. And they would do the math. They'd say, man, we can't afford to lose $1 billion a day if people don't go out and buy gas and groceries and all that sort of stuff. So we need to find out what's going to make people happy. And we need to, I'm telling you, but you could not get 50% of this country to stick to that, even for one day. Just say to them, stay home. Read a book. Just stay home.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Okay. And when we come back, I want to talk about the research itself. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're going to examine the risks associated with the development of autism as we move forward in this population and the linkage to many of you have a bottle of Roundup in your garage that you spray on weeds in the cracks of your driveway. Throw it away today. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, free alkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams
grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad. New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Everyone knows how important staying hydrated is for your health, but have you ever thought about what's in the water you're drinking? Truth is, it's not good. Stop second guessing and get the Clearly Filter pitcher filter and drink with confidence, knowing that your water is pure. Clearly filtered water filters eliminate dozens of harmful contaminants that can keep you from achieving optimal hydration and peak performance. Don't put up with mediocre water. You deserve better. Click the Superhuman Radio banner ad now and get an exclusive SHR package discount and free shipping.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I
sing it, Willie. Willie and Bono together. How about this? You two and Willie Nelson. What a great mashup. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff. We're talking about autism right now. You know what? I don't care if your child is healthy. You better be worried about autism, because between autism on one side and chronic disease and elderly people with Alzheimer's disease getting sicker and sicker earlier in life on the other side, we're going to come to a point where this country will not be able to sustain itself any longer. The politicians don't understand that if we can't work and earn money, they can't collect taxes. They haven't figured that out yet, but they're going to very shortly. So how did you design this research to show the linkage between the development and progression of autism and the involvement of glyphosate?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting story. As I think I said, I got really interested in autism about 8 or 9 years ago, and I really just reconfigured my research to focus on autism. And I have, you know, good use of computer science tools. I can take the research literature and process it to look for correlations, finding patterns, because biology is really, really complicated, and there's a lot of facts, and you can't keep everything in your head, but you can use the computer to help you remember things and link things together and figure out stories, because it's really a very fascinating
connecting the dots. No, computers are better at connecting dots than anything else in the world.
They're amazing, and of course they can't do the hard thinking, but you can. So when the computer gives you the hints, and then you can fly with the hints, you can go do some more searches, find some more papers, run them through the processing, and there's a collaboration between the human and the computer that works really well to help you see the big picture and solve the puzzle. I think this is a very fruitful area of research that more people should be doing. You know, what I'm doing basically to use the computer science to help you to interpret the biology. And there's lots of wonderful papers out there that have pieces of the story, you know, figured out, but haven't connected up to the other pieces of the story.
Right.
So basically, I do the connect the dots part.
How many papers did you use in this?
Oh, man, it's thousands.
Really?
Tens of thousands, yes, absolutely. I mean, I can do that because of the computer.
Right.
You know? Yeah, and no, it's amazing. It's really amazing, and it's a great resource. And, of course, I also look at the databases of various diseases and whatnot. I look at the vaccine. There's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which was very useful. I was originally interested in vaccines because I know a lot of people have said vaccines are connected to autism. A lot of mothers believe their child got the vaccine and went downhill from there. And I trust that kind of information. So the vaccines are actually definitely part of the problem. And, in fact, they work synergistically with glyphosate. I figured this out much later.
How so? How do they work? I mean,
glyphosate makes the aluminum, the mercury, and the glutamate in the vaccines much more toxic than they would otherwise be. And so you look at the same vaccine, MMR, for example, you look at it before 1992 versus after 1992 in VARs, and you will find big differences in the kinds of reactions that kids are having. And the reactions are much more brain-oriented after 2002.
Is this because glyphosate alters the microbiome of the human body?
Absolutely. First of all, it alters the microbiome, and that causes a leaky gut. It also causes a leaky brain barrier. So you get a leaky gut and a leaky brain, and you get a tendency to hold on to aluminum and mercury instead of exporting them through the kidneys. So it's really terrible because it allows the aluminum, it practically escorts the aluminum into the brain because the glyphosate binds with the aluminum, and that gets it past the brain barrier, which is already leaky because of the glyphosate. And then, of course, when it gets into the terminal watershed of the pineal gland, I have a whole paper coming out, by the way, on the pineal gland, linking it to sleep disorder, glyphosate and aluminum, and then a whole bunch of neurological diseases, including depression and autism, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis that are tied to sleep disorder. But I think it starts in the pineal gland because that's the terminal watershed. The pineal gland's a bit like the kidney. It's a place where, you know, there's access to the outside world. You can ship things out through the saliva, for example, just like you can ship things out through the urine. The pineal gland is going to sort things out and try to distribute minerals where they need to go and get rid of toxins, you know, by sending them out through the saliva, which is very interesting that's the case. And the pineal gland gets hit hard by the aluminum that's escorted into the pineal gland by the glyphosate. This is what we are theorizing. And, of course, this part of this is based on, you know, thinking about what chemistry does and what biology does and what physics does to try to understand how this would happen. But once you're in that acidic environment, the glyphosate lets go of the aluminum, and then both of them become toxic at that point.
Are there other scientists out there who are not debating the idea that that glyphosate in humans, or even in animals for that matter, does some of these, like in other words, I think scientists tend to be able to agree with their narrow scope of understanding. Oh yes,
right.
Glyphosate binds to aluminum. That's all they
right.
know. Glyphosate.
Exactly.
Well, what is, and then, and, but then when you take it, as you're saying, and you connect all these dots,
right.
then all of a sudden they go, oh no, this can't be. But wait a minute, you just agreed with these three things independently in a vacuum, but when you say that these three things are doing this together, you disagree.
Well, I can show you, for example, and of course I've got the individual papers. Like you say, I've got the paper that talks about glyphosate binding to an aluminum, and it has nothing to do with human biology. It's just a sort of chemistry paper,
uh-huh.
you know. And then I have papers that talk about glyphosate disrupting NMDA receptors, NMDA receptors in the brain. Very interesting, because glyphosate is a glycine molecule with a phosphonyl group attached to it.
Uh-huh.
And glycine is one of the exciters. It's a ligand for the NMDA receptors. It goes with glutamate. Glycine and glutamate together will excite the NMDA receptors. And if they get overly excited, the neuron will burn out. So glutamate is in the vaccines, like MMR. MMR contains glutamate. And the symptoms associated with MMR adverse reactions all make sense as an MSG sensitivity, you know, monosodium sodium glutamate.
Yeah.
And there's lots of glutamate in wheat as well.
Yeah.
Glutamate becomes really toxic in the context of glyphosate, because glyphosate chelates manganese and prevents it from being available. And manganese is essential to detoxify glutamate. So you have to get all these different dots connected to see the full picture. But now you've got the glutamate, you've got the glyphosate, you're going to turn on NMDA. And then I think what happens normally is the glycine and the glutamate make heme. And the heme then will turn off the receptor. But the glyphosate can't make the heme. It gets in the way and can't make the heme. So the receptor never gets turned off and you burn up the neuron.
So that would speak to Parkinson's disease as well, then.
It would.
I mean, I guess.
In fact, glyphosate, I'm almost sure it causes Parkinson's. I've seen individual papers on
case studies. I interviewed a scientist who showed the prevalence of Parkinson's disease relative to the distance lived from fields where they know that they're spraying glyphosate. Study came out last year. We talked about it.
Yes, and there's been also studies on people who work with the chemicals in the agricultural fields, and there's a correlation between working with glyphosate and having Parkinson's. There's also two case studies I'm aware of, one of which was a woman who worked in a factory where glyphosate was synthesized, and she got Parkinson's at a very early age in her 40s after working for a few years in this factory.
See, I think
spilled glyphosate on his skin, and then he developed, almost a month later, he started developing Parkinson's disease symptoms.
We have to take a break, and I want to come back, and I want to pose a thought that I just had. We're talking right now with Dr. Stephanie Seneff about the linkage between glyphosate and autism and the potential for autism to rise to a very, very large number of the child population, up to 50% of children out there being born by 2025 could potentially... Did I word that right, Dr. Senna?
You did, yeah. Okay. 2032 is the linear extension. 2025, she would be 1 in 4 with the linear extension, but I think it's worse than that.
Okay.
Because we've got really bad stuff happening.
All right, stay. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back with Dr. Stephanie Senna. Stay tuned.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
The brain plays the biggest role in strength and fatigue. The ergogenic effects of caffeine are a result of this fact. There's a new player that can give you greater confidence, clarity, and concentration that will translate to better performance in or out of the gym. Mindset from Haleo. Mindset was tested by the University of Tampa against caffeine and a placebo, and it outperformed them hands down. A stimulant-free pre-workout formula that's as effective as caffeine without the unwanted side effects. Get Mindset today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link in the Carl Recommends area. Mindset, the smart edge.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff about autism and glyphosate and the linkage between glyphosate's use and proliferation and the rise in autism. So is the reason that everybody in the factory that doesn't develop Parkinson's disease, or every child isn't being born with autism, which unfortunately is the argument, that.
I know, that's a crazy argument.
Yeah, they say, well, if it, yeah, they say, oh, you know, well, why isn't everybody getting it? Well,
I don't understand that argument at all, because clearly, I mean, everybody's genetics is different, and mm-hmm. I will grant you that genetics matters, and, you know, all the genes are sort of adjusted different ways for different people, and they have different ways of coping. So we have all these other problems kids are getting, you know, obesity and diabetes and allergies and asthma, skin problems, you know, all kinds of things that children have today that they didn't used to have. Over 50% of the kids have something along that list, you know, today, and it's
right.
getting worse and worse. ADHD, of course, is really rising. In fact, ADHD is going up very sharply.
Yeah, but, you know, nowadays with everything else, if your kid just has ADHD, you feel blessed.
I know. Yeah, but that one's really serious, and that one, I think, is a harbinger of autism. It's sort of another kind of way to get the brain kind of messed up with the stuff. But everyone's genetics is a little different.
Well, is it genetics, or I have.
And of course, the environment as well, because some kids are eating more of it, and some of them are eating less of it.
Well, but also, I think both the innate immune system and mm-hmm. the learned immune system.
And of
differs
course, the whatever microbiome they have in their gut,
that, that's what I meant. You've got a lot of children that are born to C-sections.
Right,
they don't have the luxury of the first pass through the vaginal canal to pick up that microbes from their
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, that's really really. I realize how crucial that is.
Yes,
it's really interesting.
Most children who were C-section babies, including myself, we have allergies. There's a reason
yeah,
for that. The other thing is, you have more and more mothers who either choose not to or can't breastfeed.
Yeah, and the soy formula, by the way, is terrible. In fact, we've had it tested. People have had it tested, and it's come out positive with glyphosate.
Glyphosate. I was just going to say, and it's corn syrup and soy protein.
Syrup can have mercury in it. I mean, that's also been shown.
See, and
mercury is really toxic.
You know what the problem with this is? I'm sitting here and I'm listening to it, and I know that the discussion is valid. Because I've seen some of the same research that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The average American hears this, and they think that this is conspiracy theory radio. Oh, how could this be? And I have very intelligent friends who are not
yeah.
critical thinkers or deductive reasoners who go, but come on, the government wouldn't do that to us.
Exactly. I mean, there's this belief system, which I'm really surprised that people still believe in this government. You know, I don't understand why people can't see what's going on.
And it's not, by the way, we're not talking about this government right now. We're talking about government, the government of the United States for the past 70 years.
I know.
It's
just the industry has really, they have so much power. And the government is just completely beholden to the industry. They're not looking out for the interest of the individual anymore.
No.
It's long past the time when they cared about the individual in this country.
You know,
unfortunately.
I don't know what it's going to take for people to take some of this information and go, well, maybe this is true. Maybe I'll steer clear of anything with glyphosate on it.
It seems like, to me, a no-brainer. I mean, if you've got enough money to afford to buy the organic food, it's the obvious thing to do. Even if it turns out not to be true, I mean, organic is going to be better, you know?
Yes.
And I know people who have reversed autism by just switching their kids to an organic diet.
Really?
Yes.
Well, and I've used this argument. I like to use stupid arguments, the kind of stupid arguments that people look and you go, oh, that's just stupid. Of course I would, or of course I would. And I've said to people, look, if you think that conventionally grown produce is no big deal, I'd like to come to your house every single day, knock on your door. You bring your kids over. I'm going to take an eyedropper. I'm going to put just one little drop of glyphosate on each of their tongues, and then they go on the way. I'm going to do that every day for the next year. And they would go, oh, that's stupid. I wouldn't let you do that. But what do you think you're doing when you buy conventionally grown produce?
I know. That's a good point.
They think they wash it off. It's in the flesh of the...
Wash it off.
No, it's in there.
The plant soaks it up.
It gets pulled up in the root
system.
And
that's the thing with the GMO Roundup Ready, because those are like the only plants in the world that don't die when they're exposed to glyphosate, but they soak it up. And it's been shown that the GMO soy, even the conventional soy grown with using glyphosate to kill the weeds, didn't have, in this particular experiment, didn't have any glyphosate measured in it, any measurable amounts, whereas the Roundup Ready soy had 70% of the tested ones had levels over a toxic level that even Monsanto said would be unusually high.
Really?
This is the thing. There's much, much more glyphosate in food now than there was 10 years ago.
But you know why that is?
The
reason for that is because as a process to selection pressure, the weeds that Roundup kill have gotten stronger, so they have to spray and more Roundup on the crops.
That's exactly what's happening. And, of course, they were so naive to say that wouldn't happen. They were assuring us that these GMO crops would be great because they would reduce the amount of pesticides being used. And, in fact, it went very much the opposite way. And that's why the use of glyphosate has gone way up, way, way up over the past 10, 15 years, in step, of course, with the rise in autism, a 0.997 correlation coefficient between the rise in autism in the first grade and the use of glyphosate in the previous 4 years on the corn and soy crops. It's a perfect match.
How many shows have you been on since you published this paper?
Oh, a lot. I've been getting the phone kind of ringing off the hook.
That's
here,
good.
So I'm pretty overwhelmed. Yes, it's been really amazing.
I mean, most of the shows that you're going on, are they receptive? Are they interested? Or they
so
want to challenge
far,
you?
No one has tried to
discredit
me during the conversation. They haven't left me uncomfortable. They've been very supportive. Everybody that I have talked to has been very supportive, which is really great.
John, by the way, Elisa just messaged me that you can find John Entine, his profile, on a website called propagandist.org. And this is what they say about him. Did you see this?
No.
John Entine is a media-savvy corporate propagandist and pseudo-journalist who fronts the opinions and positions of chemical corporations by pretending to be an independent journalist. He has ties to the biotech companies Monsanto and Syngenta, while playing a key role in another industry front group known as the American Council of Science and Health.
Such a wonderful thing, doesn't it?
I mean, this guy has sold his soul to the devil. I say things that anger people, Dr. Seneff, but that's my job. I hope one of his children, if they don't have autism, I hope he has autism in his family.
I know.
Because these are the people that should be getting it.
It's very frustrating. You would think that if they did, they might start to wonder
whether what they were doing was the
right thing to do or not. You would think they might have some kind of moral fiber there, you know?
You know that if he had a son or a daughter born with autism, you would see how quickly he would change his position.
You would hope.
Of course he would. Yeah, it reminds me of that movie, Thank You for Smoking.
Yes, right.
Right? He didn't want his son to know what it
is. At the end, yes, yeah. I know. Yeah. That's right. We just watched that again, actually, just a couple of days ago, just out of curiosity. So.
I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I'd just like to ask you briefly, because I have a feeling that you're already seeing it on the horizon, and it's probably going to expand your research about 2,4-D. Because you know that 2,4-D is the answer. It's going to save glyphosate because, as we said a second ago, glyphosate is not killing the weeds that are becoming resistant to it. So the next step is the nuclear bomb of herbicides, and that is 2,4-D. So let's just talk about that when we come back, and we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Stephanie Seneff about the linkage between glyphosate and autism. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffer. Offered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force
and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel, but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So they released on the website Greatest, the 100 most influential people in health and fitness, and I'm not on that damn list. Actually, I'm proud I'm not on it. Because the First Lady is number one, and the Wizard of Oz, Mehmet Oz, is number two. In order to be the greatest, listed in the greatest, you must be a mainstream, you must sing from right. The mainstream hymn book. And right. I will never do that. I will never be on one of these lists, and I'm damn proud of it. Because right, all you get here is the truth.
Yes.
What about 2,4-D, Dr. Seneff?
Yeah, well, of course, you're right that they've got this problem with out-of-control weeds in the Roundup-ready weeds, basically, that are showing up among the Roundup-ready crops. So they have to keep using more and more Roundup, and they recognize that that's going to be a problem. So their solution is simply to add another toxic chemical on top of the glyphosate. These things are almost always synergistically toxic, which means that the sum is worse than the individual components, you know, that they work together to cause increased harm. So I expect that will be the case. I mean, I haven't looked at the science yet. 2,4-D is a component of Agent Orange, which was used for the defoliation in Vietnam and had all kinds of consequences to people's health. So I am terrified to think of what this is going to mean with crops that are both Roundup ready and 2,4-D ready looking to the future. The other thing that I've read about is a Roundup ready grass that's being developed.
I heard that too.
They're using a technology that is inserting a plant. It's a GMO technology with a shotgun approach, but they're inserting a plant gene rather than a bacterial gene. They're very happy about that because that means that according to the regulation rules, they don't even have to seek approval from the FDA. They can just, or from the EPA, they can just, you know, produce it. So as soon as they've got that ready, that's going to hit the streets, and people are going to be buying Roundup Ready grass.
Without realizing it.
And spraying Roundup all over their yard. I mean, right now you have to be careful with Roundup. You'll kill the grass, right? And then you won't need to kill the grass anymore. You can really do a great job with the dandelions and poison your kids even better. I think that's really scary because people are using it, of course, casually in their yards because they don't think it's toxic. That's also a very
We were at a good friend's house over the summer, two people that we care about, and his wife is always sick with something, always sick with something. And she's got thyroid problems, and I feel bad. And he's a he's a pilot, and he flies at night all the time. So the poor guy is completely sleep disrupted. Well, with that being the case, we were talking one day, and he had just come in, and he goes, I was killing the weeds. He has a beautiful brick-paved driveway. I mean, he's got a palatial home. And he said, I got to go out there, you know, at least once a month and spray everything.
Wow.
I says, what do you use? He goes, Roundup. He goes, it works great. So once a month during the summer, the warmer weather, he goes out there and sprays. And his wife is always sick in the summer, especially. I really got down. I lectured him. I says, look, glyphosate is dangerous. That's the active ingredient in Roundup. And, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you need to throw that stuff away right away. That's very dangerous stuff. You're inhaling it while you're spraying it, I said.
Absolutely.
I mean, people don't realize how dangerous this stuff is because between the government and industry, they have lulled us into thinking that they have our best interests at heart.
And also, you know, there's really this kind of disbelief that happens when something's casually in your environment. You can just go down to the hardware store and buy it. There's this sense that it must be safe, you know. People just get comfortable with products that are everywhere, and they can't imagine that it could be the case that it could be so toxic. That's really a big problem that we face right now, this lack of this disbelief factor. How could it possibly be true that something this pervasive is so toxic and is, in fact, the thing? I think it is the single most important factor. We've got all these chemicals. We've got a bunch of chemicals today we didn't have. So the situation is very complex. But I believe glyphosate is the biggest one. And it's not just glyphosate. It's in the context of the formulation, too. And, in fact, we've been studying the formulation. It looks like they changed it around the 2005 time frame.
Really?
To use these glyphosate salts. And we are doing some detective work. We've seen some patents coming out on oxalate, adding oxalate to glyphosate to make it more toxic to the plants, to the weeds. We're suspecting, and we can't prove it because it's always under a patent, you know.
Yeah,
patent
right, private. Right.
They don't
yeah.
have to tell you what's in there. But we are suspecting that oxalate was added starting in 2005 and really adopted in 2006. And the consequence, one consequence you see very clearly, is kidney stones. Kidney stones, 80% of them are calcium oxalate, and you're seeing a huge rise in kidney stones following that time frame. Also a huge rise in ADHD, and children with autism have three times the level of oxalate in their blood compared to normal controls. So that's all fitting a piece of a puzzle that we're suspecting, but we can't prove.
Yeah. It's a sad situation, and you know, I don't need somebody to tell me that I should not be consuming more chemicals. I'm sorry. If you're a critical thinker, if you use deductive reasoning, there's no reason to be consuming chemicals. I don't care if the government says they're safe. Don't forget, this is the same government that back in the 30s and 40s said that smoking cigarettes was good for you.
Yeah, and of course it might have been the case then because they didn't have the glyphosate in it. I mean, they've been using toxic chemicals on tobacco for a long time.
Right, right. But the bottom line is you can't trust the government to give you health advice if you want to live a long, healthy life.
I certainly don't think so.
They're
so influenced by the chemical industry that they're just basically...
I hope enough people are listening to you where they are starting to at least become cautious and think, you know, I don't know who's right, who's wrong, so I'm just going to stay out of this one. I'm going to stay away from. And in order to stay away from glyphosate, you cannot buy. You have to buy organic cane sugar. You can't buy. You cannot buy corn. You cannot buy soy. You cannot buy anything that uses sugar beet as a sweetener. That they're getting the sugar from the sugar beets. I mean,
sugar beet, sugar cane, and high fructose corn syrup are all probably
contaminated. Yeah, I mean, you really do have to navigate around it, but it's worth it. It's once you put the effort in to hunt and find the replacement foods for the ones you're using now, then the hunt and the work is over, and then you just integrate those in instead, and just abandon. Because I've said this before, I have no beef with Monsanto. I wish that they would turn around and become the greatest company in the world by selling us what we want instead of selling us what they want to sell us. And the only way to get them to do that is to boycott products so that they gather up on grocery store shelves. Grocery stores send them back to the jobbers. The jobbers go, why aren't we selling this stuff? Then the grocery store put man on the feet on the ground. They start asking consumers, and consumers go, oh, because I'm staying away from, I'm buying only organic. The word goes back, and Monsanto goes, oh, my God, we got another quarter ahead of us where we're going to lose money. We need to stop doing what we're doing.
Right. I mean, it would be amazing if Monsanto would make such a turnabout that they would decide to get really big time into organic.
But see, they
somebody
can.
Somebody needs to be paying attention to sustainable farming. You know, we need to be making an about face. We're ruining the soil. We're ruining the water.
You know, we just did a show. Let me see when it was. It was the 6th, a couple days ago. Busting the organic versus conventional myth. Organic crops produce as well as conventional and GM crops. We can feed the world with organics. I had Dr. Claire Kremen on, who shows there's only a 19% variation in an organic crop production versus conventional. That is not enough to say we can't feed the world with organic.
Yeah, right. And I think if people do research, they can find ways to do organic more efficiently. I've been talking to people who are proposing cattle, you know, putting cattle out on the grass and letting the whatever grows grow. Let the weeds grow, no problem, because the cows actually like the weeds, and the weeds provide them with nutrition that they would otherwise not get. It's quite interesting. The cows actually get healthier. You know, don't worry about whatever plants are growing there. Just let them be. In fact, even maybe put some seeds in to encourage some other kind of diversity, because you want the cow does better when it gets to eat a lot of other things besides just grass. And the cow on the grass makes the grass much healthier.
Yes.
For one thing, there's the cow manure, which is going to fertilize the grass, and then it being stimulated to grow because the grass is eaten.
And when cows eat grass,
when
cows eat grass, they don't produce that E. coli that's poisonous, and they don't produce methane.
That's right. I mean, it all becomes a very ecological system, and then we can enjoy incredibly high-quality beef.
It seems like
a no-brainer to do that.
Dr. Kremen pointed out by using multiple crops in the same field,
the yield
can actually be higher, closer to a 9% variance.
Right. I mean, and the rotation is something they used to do routinely, and they understood which crops would deplete this, and then the other crops would renew it, and you'd have this balance, you know?
Yeah, beans.
Now we just keep on dumping these chemical fertilizers on the soil every year.
Exactly.
And those get washed off and cause all these algal blooms, and those are toxic, you know?
She pointed out that beans actually reinvest nitrogen into the soil. So
you
rotate beans into a field for one growing season, and you don't need to put down artificial fertilizers.
It makes a lot of sense. It really makes a lot of sense. This is what we need to get. And it's more, and it makes farming more fun, too, because it becomes a creative science, you know?
Yeah. This is a good discussion. I hope more people pick it up and listen to what you're saying and don't listen to these idiots who clearly have a investment in the propaganda that they're spewing. Thank you so much, Dr. Seneff.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. So there you have it. If you know somebody who's pregnant, if you know somebody who has young children, make sure that you let them listen to this show. And, of course, thanks to Ken O'Neill during the first hour for putting together the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Dr. Jeff Kripal. And also remember to patronize our sponsors, especially All American EFX, and free 30-day supply of weight loss fat burner patch from Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Age Force banner ad, use the coupon code free patches to take advantage of that. Tomorrow's Friday, the first casual Friday of the new year. Don't miss it. See you tomorrow.
Today's day.